A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to this service of public worship. It is a very significant occasion today, Remembrance Sunday. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. After this service, we will all move to the War Memorial, where we will have part of the service. We begin our service this morning singing "Standing on the Promises of Christ, My King." Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, as we gather in your presence on this Remembrance Sunday, we approach you with hearts open to the timeless wisdom of the prophet Isaiah and the transformative teachings of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In this diverse gathering of faith and exploration, may your Spirit unite us in a common purpose of seeking peace and understanding in our broken world. Grant us the courage to engage in meaningful dialogue, to construct bridges of compassion instead of walls of division. May the words of Isaiah inspire us to turn away from hostility and towards cooperation, envisioning a future where swords are transformed into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. In this moment of reflection, we acknowledge the brokenness of our world and our roles in contributing to its struggles. We confess the times we have allowed walls to stand instead of building bridges, and when our words and actions have perpetuated hostility rather than fostering understanding. Forgive us, Lord, for the moments we have neglected the call to turn away from conflict and seek peace. For the times we have been hesitant to engage in dialogue, choosing instead the comfort of silence. Forgive us for our shortcomings in embodying the transformative power of reconciliation. We bring our thoughts and our prayers together as we pray the words our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now take our call to remembrance. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow, we give our today. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Are there any of our church children who would like to come down to the front? I think the youth organizations can just stay where they are. Good. It's great to see you all. Now, today is a very special Sunday in the church calendar, and because of that, we give it a special name. Can anyone tell me what Sunday this is? Yes?
Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day, indeed. Well done. But, hang on, who are we remembering? Yes?
The people who died in the war.
The people who died in the war. Thank you. In one war?
In two.
In at least two wars. Yes, thank you. But it's not only the people who died. We've got to think of the people who gave up so much to serve.
Got injured.
Exactly. And the ones who got injured and came back with a life transformed. They were no longer able to fit back into society as they had before. So we've got those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, those who died to secure our freedom and our safety. We've got those who were injured, who came back, possibly life-changing injuries, and their lives were transformed. And we had those who were killed within this country, innocent civilians during the bombing raids. And since then, conflict after conflict has taken its toll. And so it is right that we remember. Is there anything in particular we do or we wear today? Yes. We wear poppies. Yes. Why do we wear poppies? Why not thistles or roses or daffodils? Yes.
Poppies are the thing that grew on the ground when the war ended.
Exactly. Poppies were the things that grew in the ground. Now, this is our dear friend, Papaver Royos. No, it's not Dundee United's latest Argentinian signing. It is actually the proper name, the proper botanical name for the common poppy, the corn rose, or the Flanders poppy. And we know it as the Flanders poppy. I want to take you back, because someone mentioned that it was because flowers grew, the poppies grew. But here we can see nothing but devastation. What was green, beautiful farmland, wooded, has been completely devastated by the bombing, the continuous bombing. All we can see is a greyness. No green colour, just grey. Mud and puddles, everything has been destroyed. And it was in this environment that there was a particular individual, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae. Now, he was a Canadian doctor, and he was serving with the Canadian forces in support of the British Army. Now, John, as his name suggests, was Canadian, but he came from a long line of staunch Presbyterian Scots. And so he had been brought up in the church. He had a love of poetry. And of course, he was a medical doctor. He was assigned to a dressing station near Ypres in the Western Front in Flanders. And his duty was effectively to repair the damage, to patch up the wounded, and sadly, to deal with those who ultimately died. And While he was working one day, he recognized the individual who was brought into the tent. It was a friend of his, a colleague from Canada. He had to deal with this individual who sadly passed away. But not only that, the chaplain had also moved, and so John had to undertake the actual funeral service for his friend. Afterwards, he took time amidst the chaos, the ensuing battle, he took time to sit and reflect. It was then he began to write a poem that has become enshrined in the history of World War I. He was sitting amongst the crosses, countless crosses, and as we were told earlier, the poppies were growing. Of all the plants, nothing else seemed to grow except poppies, profusions of poppies. And so John began to pen his poem. And he called it In Flanders Field. Now, you're not going to be able to read it. We're going to look at it a little later. But in Flanders Field, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row. He penned on behalf of those who had passed away. He penned on behalf of those colleagues he had lost. And he actually wrote the poem and he read it over once or twice. And he was super critical and didn't really like it. So he threw it away. However, some of his colleagues, some of his fellow soldiers, actually picked it up and read it and saw the content and the real meaning behind the poem. And they encouraged him to send it to the Spectator to be published. But sadly, they too rejected it. However, he then sent it to Punch magazine. And they published it. Not only did they publish it, but some of their associated papers, journals, and magazines throughout the world also published it. And so in America, Moina Michael, a professor, actually read the poem, saw the connection, made some silk poppies. Similarly, Anna Gurin in France did likewise, saw the relevance and significance of the poppy, and they both lobbied what was then a formed organization called the Royal British Legion in 1921 to consider using the poppy as a means of remembrance, but also a means of raising funds for those who were coming back, whose lives would be transformed and would need additional support. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amongst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders field. So yes, the poppy is about remembrance, but there is also a challenge. We have to grasp the torch. We have a responsibility for the future. To take the torch that was thrown by the dead, to recognize its significance and to move forward. If we look at our world today, the conflicts, that are taking place. We recognize that we are living in a world of increasing darkness and shadows. Hatred, mistrust, anger, envy, greed, discrimination, inequality, and they all ultimately are the seeds of conflict, the beginnings of wars. So we have a responsibility. In our world of darkness, we have been asked to take the torch, to take the lead. And for Christians, this brings about a dependence or a reliance on Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So to dispel the darkness, to dispel the shadows, it is our responsibility to continue to carry the torch, to carry the torch forward in the strength of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it is in his will and in his strength that we can do something to change the world in which we live. It isn't just me who's left to hold the torch. We all have that responsibility. So today is about remembrance. We wear the poppy to remember what has taken place in the past, and we will remember them. However, it's also a sign of hope for the future. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we live in the light of Christ, the light that dispels the darkness and the shadows of our fractious world, by holding aloft the eternal torch of freedom and peace, passed on to us by those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, through the generations, tensions and conflicts have prevailed. May we, your children, witness an everlasting peace within our lifetime, born out of love, not hatred, born out of trust, not suspicion, born out of mutual respect, not contempt. Lord, we pray for children throughout the world, that they might enjoy the freedom to live and learn, to play and have fun, to grow and flourish. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. And just to remind our youth organizations, I would like to give the leaders some poppies that your children can plant. According to the labeling, there's 5,000, so there's no need to squabble. But thank you.
Tunnel of Your Peace. It's hymn books 528.
Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Isaiah 2. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, reading from verses 1 to 11. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Thanks be to God, and may God and his blessings for these readings of his holy word. Let us continue now with our worship by singing our next hymn, hymn 161, O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, as we gather on this Remembrance Sunday, our hearts are heavy with the weight of memories. Memories of sacrifice, courage, and the enduring human spirit. We approach your word with reverence and humility, seeking your guidance and illumination. In the quiet spaces of our hearts where the echoes of history and the pain of loss linger, be present, O Lord. Open our minds and hearts to receive the wisdom and truth within your word. Grant us the discernment to understand the lessons that history and remembrance offer. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear friends, dear cherished community of God's people, today is Remembrance Sunday, a solemn occasion dedicated to paying tribute to the fallen, reflecting on the cost of war, and expressing gratitude for the service and sacrifice of members of the armed forces. This day holds deep cultural and historical significance for all of us in the United Kingdom and the broader Commonwealth. And I would like to reflect with you on the theme, Bridging Divides in a Fractured World, a call to enduring peace. As we gather here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland on this sacred Sunday, our hearts resonate with the timeless words of the prophet Isaiah and the revolutionary teachings of Jesus Christ, seeking guidance for the enduring challenges of our fractured world. Isaiah 2:1-5 paints a vision of unity and peace among nations, a vision that reverberates across time, addressing the conflicts of our contemporary world. In the ongoing strife, especially in regions like the Middle East, Isaiah's call to turn swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks urges us to break the chains of hostility and construct bridges of understanding and compassion. Similarly, in Matthew 5:1-9, Jesus Christ unveils a manifesto of blessedness, a revolutionary path to peace amidst global conflicts. Consider the current turmoil in Palestine and Israel, marked by historical tensions. Reflect on the wars in Ukraine, in Cameroon, and other parts of Africa and the world. Isaiah's vision challenges us to imagine a future where animosity gives way to cooperation and to understanding. How then can we actively be instruments of peace in this troubled world? Let us consider the power of dialogue. Engage in conversations that construct bridges rather than walls. Let the words of the prophet and the Sermon on the Mount inspire us to actively seek common ground, recognizing that true peace begins with understanding. In many troubled areas, individuals have risen above prejudice and hostility. Through open dialogue and acts of kindness, they have become agents of reconciliation, echoing Isaiah's vision and Christ's teachings. My dear friends, the process of dialogue and reconciliation played a pivotal role in settling the problems of apartheid in South Africa. The dismantling of apartheid, which was a system of institutionalized racial segregation and discrimination was a complex and challenging task. A task that required visionary leadership, courageous individuals, and a commitment to reconciliation. And all those who fronted this initiative became heroes. Heroes are not just capped figures with extraordinary powers, but ordinary people who do extraordinary things. The soldiers who faced battle in the First World War were ordinary young men, offering their lives in the hope of saving their country. Those left behind showed courage, ingenuity, and comradeship during the Second World War. We will remember that during the pandemic that brought so much death and pain to the world, heroes emerged daily. Those protecting our health, families, workplaces, and schools. Those who brought smiles, hope, and kindness to us daily. As we remember those who fought and gave everything about themselves for our sake, we must consider the heroes in our own lives and express gratitude when we can. But how can we ourselves be heroes and heroines in these challenging times? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ speaks of God's blessing in difficult times. We are blessed when we seek goodness in the world. We are blessed when we are kind and honest. And we are blessed when we make peace. Even when others criticize us, God stands by us. I know it is challenging to believe in God when the world looks bleak. But Jesus Christ tells us that God's power takes effect in us when we turn to Him. God can do extraordinary things with ordinary people like you and myself. As we honor the heroes of the past and even of the present, let us ask God to make us heroes in our time. There is this story. In a small village nestled between rolling hills and golden fields, there lived two lifelong friends, Elias and Samuel. Their laughter echoed through the streets, and their dreams of a peaceful future were as boundless as the sky above. Little did they know that the approaching storm of war would shatter the tranquility of their idyllic world. As tensions rose, Elias and Samuel found themselves on opposite sides, conscripted into the heart-wrenching reality of battle. The once shared dreams of a harmonious life seemed like distant echoes in the chaos of the battlefield. One fateful day, as the sun dipped low on the horizon, Elias and Samuel found themselves facing each other across the muddied trenches. Their eyes, once filled with shared dreams, now reflected the agony of a war neither had chosen. The very soil beneath their feet had absorbed the blood of comrades and foes alike. A stark contrast to the peaceful fields that had once defined their village. In the quiet moment that precedes a storm, Elias and Samuel locked eyes, recognizing the shared pain etched on each other's faces. A moment of clarity pierced through the fog of war as they remember the words of Isaiah, spoken in a time seemingly distant, yet hauntingly relevant. Quote, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." End of quote. the weight of their weapons, once instruments of destruction, suddenly became burdens too heavy to bear. As if moved by an unseen force, Elias and Samuel, both wearied and scared, laid down their arms. The echoes of gunfire were replaced by the haunting silence of a battlefield forever changed. The two friends, now united by the shared tragedy of war, stood amidst the desolation they had known. In a symbolic act of defiance against the cycle of violence, Elias took a rusted sword and Samuel a battered spear. With hands that had once gripped weapons, they began to transform their instruments of destruction into tools for creation. Elias and Samuel, once entrenched in the brutality of war, experienced a transformative moment inspired by the prophetic words of Isaiah. The act of turning swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks became a powerful symbol of their commitment to peace. This symbolic act was not merely a cessation of hostilities. It was a profound recognition that the tools of war, once instruments of destruction, could be repurposed for creation. My dear brothers and sisters, in the quiet aftermath of a battlefield forever changed, Elias and Samuel teach us a timeless truth. The same truth articulated by the prophet Isaiah. Their journey from conflict to creation mirrors our calling as peacemakers in a world torn by strife. As we remember our fallen heroes and navigate our roles as bearers of peace, let us draw inspiration from the resolute hands of Elias and Samuel. And may we learn from the wisdom of Thomas Merton, who suggested that, quote, "Peace demands the most heroic labor and the most difficult sacrifice. It demands greater heroism than war. It demands greater fidelity to the truth and a much more perfect purity of conscience." End of quote. May God empower us for this sacred task. And as we lay down the burdens too heavy for us to bear, let the transformative power of peace be our guiding light. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this Remembrance Day, we honor the memory of those who have suffered the consequences of conflict. Grant us the strength and wisdom to be instruments of your enduring peace. May we embody the teachings of Isaiah and Jesus, laboring towards a world where your peace reigns eternally. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, 710, "I Have a Dream." Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we come before you on this sacred Remembrance Sunday, we bring our offerings with hearts filled with gratitude and a desire to be instruments of peace in our fractured world. May these gifts, both humble and significant, contribute to the transformative work of reconciliation and healing. Just as Isaiah envisioned a world where swords are turned into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, we dedicate our offerings to break the chains of hostility and construct bridges of understanding and compassion. May these resources support efforts towards dialogue and cooperation in places marked by strife, such as the Middle East, Ukraine, Cameroon, and other parts of the world. In the spirit of heroes who sacrificed for the well-being of their country, and those who, like the characters in the Bible, showed courage and camaraderie during times of war, we dedicate these offerings to support the heroes of our time, those on the front lines protecting our health, families, and communities during times of pandemic and ill health. Grant us the wisdom and humility to be heroes ourselves in these challenging times, as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. Bless our offerings that they may bring blessings to the exhausted, the grieving, those seeking goodness, the kind and honest, and those making peace. Gracious and merciful God, we lift our hearts in solemn prayer for all those who fought and made the ultimate sacrifice in the First World War, and for their families who carried the weight of loss. We honor the bravery and resilience of our armed forces, past and present, and fervently pray for the safety and well-being of those who safeguard the integrity of our land. May your divine protection be a shield around them, and may their labor be rewarded with peace and security. As we remember their services and reflect on the profound impact of war, grant us the wisdom to strive for a world where conflicts are resolved through dialogue and understanding, and where the lessons of the past guide us towards enduring peace. We pray for nations burdened by conflicts. May your spirit of peace prevail, turning weapons into tools for creation and fostering understanding among diverse communities. We pray for those who find themselves in the midst of war, for families torn apart, and for the heroes who work tirelessly for the well-being of others. Grant strength and resilience to those facing adversity, and may your peace, which surpasses all understanding, be felt in every corner of our broken world. We also pray for the courage to be heroes ourselves, embracing the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. May our actions bring comfort to the exhausted, solace to the grieving, and goodness to a world in need. In moments of difficulties, help us seek your guidance and stand firm in our commitment to make peace. Lord, we acknowledge that in these challenging times, it is easy to lose sight of your love. Yet as we offer our prayers, we are reminded that nothing can separate us from your love. In the face of trouble, hardship, hunger, persecution, danger or violence, we trust that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. May your love, grace, and peace abound, shaping a world where hope triumphs over despair and heroes emerge, not just in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary acts of kindness and compassion. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country, hymn 704. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.